It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Support for this podcast comes from HealthNetics. Do you have nagging aches and pains from your younger, more athletic days? HealthNetics CBD is a premium brand CBD that may help take care of aches and pains, as well as relieve anxiety and sleeplessness. HealthNetics products are all natural, THC-free, made in the USA, and undergo third-party lab testing to ensure quality and purity. All CBD is not the same. Order today with a money-back guarantee at HealthNetics.com and use promo code SPORTS for 20% off.
Oh, yeah. Better than this. I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this shit.
What's better than this? Guys, being dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast, presented by Locked On. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network, and we are your hosts here on this Twitter, this not Twitter Tuesday, this Takes on Takes edition of the show. Kyle, welcome.
What podcast do you think you're on, dude?
Brother, I can't believe that's the first time I've ever done that.
I can. I'm surprised that hasn't happened before.
That's what I'm saying. That was my first. And look, I knew that I could try to stop there and like regroup, but I know that since you're the producer of this podcast, that
no, it's staying anyway.
Yeah, so I just was like, all right, I better just go with this because I know how this goes now.
Well, good. I'm glad the pecking order's been established. This is great,
Kyle. I'm really excited to hear about how much you enjoyed the Home Run Derby last night.
I watched none of it because I don't waste my time with stupid sporting events.
Oh, imagine thinking the home run. That's the worst take you've had. The Home Run Derby is the funnest thing baseball does every year. And it was glorious last night.
Okay. I'm glad you guys sat and watched Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit 59 home runs in the first two rounds just to lose in the third round.
You hate to see it. You hate to see it. Pete Alonso. The only good thing that'll be happening in my baseball world for a long time is a Home Run Derby champion. And I'm going to relish it, and I'm going to enjoy it. And it was
fun,
damn it. You're
going to get a plaque? You're going to get a plaque for him?
Give me something for my office.
Put it up in the man cave?
Yeah. Heck yeah. Pete Alonso, Polar Bear. Have you seen his Twitter, Avi, is amazing. As somebody who I know that you respect brands, man, you would love it, how he's embraced this Polar Bear thing. His Twitter, Avi, is literally like a cartoon Polar Bear in a New York Mets uniform with his number on. It's amazing.
He's not even the first bear in the NL East in the last 5 years.
Who's the other one?
Evan Gattis.
Forgettable.
Dude was a straight lumberjack, man.
Kyle, we better get to football here. We're going to lose listeners, get bad reviews.
Yeah. I mean, at least we're not talking about lawnmowers, right?
It's funny, that lawnmower conversation, people use it now as like a praise to us. Like, they made a conversation about lawnmowers sound entertaining.
And it was entertaining. And it was entertaining, damn it. So step off. Let's talk about some takes, Joe.
Yeah, let's do it. I got to cut my grass later, speaking of lawnmowers.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it sucks.
Who's giving?
I don't know, man. I don't – the order of this, it's doesn't matter.
All right, I'll give you Josh's take.
All right, I'll take it.
Chase Winovich will finish his career with the most sacks of any edge rusher in the 2019 class, all for the Patriots. Hashtag takes on takes.
I mean, this is aggressive, right? I mean, we're talking about a class that produced Nick Bosa and Brian Burns and Josh Allen and Ed Oliver and Christian Wilkins and Quinnen Williams. Nah, dude. I'll say this. I love Chase Winovich. But I think that he's more likely to be on the outside of the top five looking in than the other way around, than leading this crop of pass rushers.
It's also foolish to give you this take because you will take the field
every time.
100 times out of 100. You will take the field versus one.
Well, why wouldn't you? Like, it's conventional wisdom. I'll challenge myself to be more aggressive not taking the field. I'll recognize that. But in this circumstance, I think it's pretty much the way to go.
Is there anybody in the 2019 Heisman race that you would take over the field?
Oh, you know what's so hard about the Heisman? It's like every year, whoever I think it's going to be doesn't win it. like going into the season.
What a great endorsement for your football acumen.
Well, because stuff happens that you don't anticipate. Like, okay, so who's like the front runners this year? AJ Dillon, Jonathan Taylor, Trevor Lawrence, Tua.
Tua.
Those are like, people would tell you it's one of those four, right? Is there a name I'm not remembering?
I don't think you're missing anybody blatant.
All right, so you have to be on a good team, right? That's a prerequisite to winning the Heisman, right? So you have to play for Clemson, Alabama, or like Oklahoma, or, okay, so that means Jonathan Taylor's out. A.J. Dillon ain't winning it because he went to Boston College. So it's Tua or Trevor Lawrence. It's Clemson, Bama. Give me Tua, right? He's got all those great receivers. He's going to have ridiculous numbers on the undefeated team that wins 0 or 1, that loses 0 to 1 games. It's Tua.
Okay. You heard it here first, guys.
Well, now look, I'll be a cow. It will be wrong. It won't happen. It won't
be Tua. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence.
So what is your, do you think Trevor Lawrence will have a statistically better season than Tua Tagovailoa?
No, I don't think so. I think, I don't know. I've kind of enjoyed watching Alabama transform right into this team that all of a sudden like does air it out after being a team that was like, wow, they're really good despite not having a quarterback. And now they have a quarterback to go with it. And it's just been like terrifying to watch. And I think the competition will be softer in the SEC, so I think that's maybe the only chance that Tua has to have worse stats is because he's out of games in the mid-third quarter like he was this past year.
All right. We're off the rails already, Kyle. Matt Valdovinos, Matt's weekly takes here. He says, the preseason presents more risk than reward and should be cut to 2 games in the future.
I think I agree with this take. Having seen a top 2-round pick get hurt on the kickoff team on the first snap of the first preseason game in the last few years for my own personal rooting interests, preseason's a pretty – you see them every year. These are these tough injuries that you'd at least like to see. If somebody's going to get hurt doing what they're getting paid to do, let it at least count, right? Sure. Don't go down for nothing. Don't go down in the warm-up and in the pre, that's like the car and that blows his tire on the pre-race warm-up laps and busts up his car on the wall. I mean, that'd be brutal to have that happen. So I think I agree with this take, but I also don't know if I agree with this take if it comes at the expense of adding 2 more regular season games.
Give me joint practices and 2 preseason games, and let's go play the season.
Yep, 16-game season.
Yep.
I'm glad you're getting this one, Joe. Take from Khalil. Michael Gallup is Devontae Adams light. They're similar athletes, technicians, good versus press, strong in contested situation, red zone bullies, tough runners after the catch, and can stretch the field. Wow, so Michael Gallup's an all-pro.
I mean, I liked Michael Gallup coming out, and I still do. I think that he's actually a really good compliment when you think about it to Amari Cooper in Dallas.
Yes, he is.
And I think that all of those things are true about Michael Gallup. We just need to see it in the NFL, right? Like there's a step he needs to take and a comfort level that he needs to achieve at the NFL level to be the player we saw at Colorado State. So, I think he has this type of a ceiling. We just need to see it, right? And right now, Devontae Adams, most people would tell you, is a top 10 or 15 receiver in the league. So, let me see Michael Gallup.
You're selling him short, Joe.
You know, I said he's a top 10 receiver.
Top 15?
Yeah, you're splitting hairs, right? If you stack them all up and you go 7 to 15, I mean, that's going to be a similar tier of players. I mean, it's splitting hairs whenever you stack them up. He's one of the better receivers in the league. So
I'm just trying to protect you from yourself.
I'm good. Michael Gallup can be that. He's just not that yet. So yeah, maybe him calling him Devontae Adams light is appropriate. Mantis Toboggan, what's up, dude? I don't know. I couldn't answer this, so hopefully you can. Stranger Things Season 3 is the best season of Stranger Things, and it is a Netflix top 3 show.
Well, I'm glad he used the number 3, because I've watched 3 episodes of the first season of Stranger Things, and that's all I've seen so far.
Is it good?
it is good. I have not had time to get back into it. Kind of a little busy, got married, went on a honeymoon. My dad got married. My best man got married. So it's a rough stretch the last 2 months. But I'm hoping July can be a month that things can chill out for me a little bit before we go down to the TDN Summit at the end of the month and get caught up and do some binge watching on Stranger Things. But yes, through the first three episodes, I've really enjoyed it, but I have not had a chance to get caught up with what everybody's now raging about.
Do you think I'd like it? Do I need to watch this show?
I think it would captivate. It starts faster than Game of Thrones did, so that's good.
Interesting.
Yeah, maybe some food for thought. Maybe we can binge watch it at the TDN Summit.
Yeah, I'm sure within our you know, what do we have, like 48 hours together, we should spend it watching TV.
I think we got closer to 72, don't we?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a math guy.
I'm not a math guy. I'll tell you what, man. Oliver, CeeDee Lamb's body control is greater than Henry Ruggs' speed. Takes on takes.
So obviously those are both like elite traits that each one of those receivers has. So would I choose the body control of CeeDee Lamb or the speed of Henry Ruggs? I think isolated, I don't think those traits matter as much isolated. It's like, what's the rest of the package? And I mean, Henry Ruggs is very competitive. He can play the ball as well, but he gives you more juice, maybe a little less size, right? This is the hardest thing I've ever been asked.
What's easier to replicate?
Body control.
There you go.
Henry Ruggs speed's the answer.
And it's only because it's easier to replicate.
I think that's the right, that, I mean, I was sitting here doing, you know, mental gymnastics there. So thanks for helping, for, you know, lasering me in there.
Brother out, yeah.
Appreciate that. Help me out, Kyle. This one's turned in by at the Joe Marino. We've got a tattle take here. I'm turning in Z. At Rich Homie Zeker. What the hell? And he calls himself Z on Twitter. And this is what he said. Derwin James. I can't even read this. Derwin James is the most overrated player in the NFL. Congratulations, you have a run-stuffing safety who gets 3 sacks a year. Just what I want out of a safety.
I'm scared, Joe. Take the bad man and his bad take away. I don't want to look at it. Can you, I'm serious, delete it off the queue.
This guy has the right to vote in the United States, man. What, they give people like this driver's license, you know,
what,
like
idiot. Man, that's might be your best quip in the history of the show. This guy has the right to vote.
Oh boy,
I'm not even gonna acknowledge that just happened. I'm moving on. I have a replacement take for you, Joe.
Oh boy.
Jeff Ireland's drafting from 2010 to 2013 is the worst drafting in the history of the NFL. This is a take from at Grinding the Tape.
Was that with the Miami Dolphins?
Yes. Would you like the breakdown of the players he drafted in the first round versus the players he could have had in the first round?
Well, I mean, I have a website up here that can tell me. What were the years again?
I already have it queued. I have the whole.
What were the years again? 2012 to 2013?
2010 to 2013.
This is not the worst drafting in the history of football.
Look at just the first rounds.
Okay, I've got Jared Odrick, who was taken late in the first round, who was a starting caliber defensive lineman for many years. Mike Pouncey, who's still the starting center. Ryan Tannehill.
Mike Pouncey's in Los Angeles with the Chargers.
Oh, my God. Mike Pouncey's not on the Dolphins anymore?
What are you, a fan of the AFC East?
You're kidding me.
Yeah,
he played last year in the Chargers. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking about the other Pouncey with the Steelers. Okay, so he's
not
still
a math guy. So
not a math guy. So still a starting caliber, highly paid center. I've got
paid is not equal good though.
Ryan Tannehill, who got this team to the playoffs. That
actually he did not get the team to the playoffs. Matt Moore came in and went 2-1 to clinch the playoffs.
Well, look, he was a starting quarterback for the majority of the season in the year the Dolphins went to the playoffs and signed a lucrative second contract with the team And obviously, Deion Jordan was a terrible pick. That, there's been worse four-year stretches than that.
Joe.
What?
The Dolphins got Odrick, Pouncey, Tannehill, and Jordan and could have came away with, in the same stretch, without trading any picks, Rob Gronkowski, Ryan Kerrigan, Russell Wilson, and DeAndre Hopkins.
We do this for every draft in the history of
I understand that. But what a kick in the nuts. You wonder why this team sucks. Look at that stretch of picks, who they could have had versus who they netted, and that's exactly why.
How about this stretch of picks? You want to have the misery Olympics? Marshawn Lynch, Leotis McKelvin, Aaron Maben, CJ Spiller.
I mean, Marshawn's fine.
Yeah, but he was traded on a rookie contract.
Okay.
Leotis McKelvin's a fine starting caliber cornerback. He would be probably the equivalent of like the Pouncey of that stretch. And then Aaron Maben and CJ Spiller?
Yeah, Aaron Maben's your Deion Jordan pick. Congrats.
But yours is at number three, so it's worse. But Deion Jordan's still playing in the league, man.
No, he's not.
He was on the Seahawks last year.
He doesn't have a contract right now.
Oh, he'll get signed. And then CJ Spiller.
I think he had another drug violation.
Did he really? CJ Spiller is the most disgusting running back I've ever seen play football. Totally afraid of contact.
That's not true. You've seen Kerryon Johnson.
Brother, no. You are not. That's never going to let me go, is it?
No.
You're so stupid.
Yeah, Deion Jordan is facing a 10-game suspension if he signs with a team for drug violation. So it's only his 12th violation since he's been in the pros. It's fine.
All right. Now that we've had that pissing contest.
I guess I actually owe you the Allen Fisher pick, huh?
Yeah, I'll take it.
Garrett Bowles will vastly improve under Mike Munchak. He won't be a pro bowler, but he will cut down on his penalties and justify first-round status.
Abso-frickin-lutely. Garrett Bowles is a really exciting talent in terms of his physical skill set. I don't think he's been awful. I think he's been up and down. The flashes have been there. Now you give him, you know, one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL that has done more with less, and you give him a skill set like Garrett Bowles, this dude's getting ready to take the next step. Get ready for the Garrett Bowles breakout in 2019.
Bet.
The sports nut says
a nut.
The 2020 offensive tackle class will be better than the 2019 class with guys like Andrew Thomas, Trey Smith, Walker Little, Tristan Wirfs, Trey Adams, etc.
Okay, so Trey Adams' medicals are really going to knock him down.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to be a coveted prospect, even though he's a talented player. Andrew Thomas, yes. Trey Smith, doesn't he play guard?
No, he kicked over to left tackle last year. So
okay. Is he healthy?
It's a question.
Yes or no, right? Like, yeah, I don't think he is.
There's concerns there. Yep.
Yep. So we got two guys getting knocked down for injury concerns. Walker Little, I caught a little of yesterday watching Notre Dame's defense.
You caught a little?
Little. He's all right. I haven't done his full assessment yet, so don't hold me to this, but I think he was the best mover. I thought he got outreached against Notre Dame a couple times, so I got to really put him under the microscope. Wirfs a stud. I would take Wirfs over any offensive tackle in this year's draft, in the 2019 draft class.
That was not true. In the 2019. Wait, what'd you say? Say that again.
I would take Wirfs over any offensive tackle in the 2019 draft class.
Interesting. I need to watch him still. Did you know that 8 offensive tackles went in the top 55 last year?
Or are you including Dalton Risner in that? Because he's a guard.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, okay.
So seven.
Still a pretty big
very
number.
Impressive number.
Yeah. I don't know how some of their names were Titus Howard, Caleb McGarry, and Max Sharping, but that's and Greg Little. That. Oh God. All right, let's move on.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna before we throw any more sand on the or dirt on the green, Jared Feinberg, Ohio State cornerback Jeffrey Okuda, not Bryce Hall, is the best cornerback in 2020 heading into the season.
I haven't done Okuda yet.
He fits the Ohio State pedigree for like their top end corners.
Oh, so like he's the Gary and Connolly, not the Kendall Sheffield?
Correct. Yeah.
I love Paulson Adebo from Stanford, dude. I love him. And I love Bryce Hall. So I need to watch a Sakuda dude. He's on my list for very soon. Have you done any work on him or like where could you
go ahead, finish your
I was gonna say maybe you could answer this better than I could.
I have not done enough to give the firm opinion yet. I've seen him a lot in passing.
I have done a Debo. I've done Bryce Hall, and I did AJ Terrell from Clemson. So looks like a good corner year. We got CJ Henderson from Florida. This Akuda dude's supposed to be pretty good. Like this is a nice transition from last
Christian
year.
Christian Fulton.
Oh yeah, Christian Fulton. I haven't seen the kid from Alabama yet. Diggs, he's good.
Yeah. He's Trayvon Diggs is really solid too.
We got some guys this year, man, at corner, which is great. Okay, David Bullen. What's up, dude? Trevor Joseph, he slacked on new vocabulary for Joe, but David Bullen came through and he said, is losing the entire D-line to the NFL going to be what is that word?
Deleterious?
Deleterious for Clemson?
I'm assuming it means detrimental.
Are you assuming? Did you look it up?
I did not look it up, no.
I am right now because we need to know.
Well, it's also for you, your vocabulary word. So
well, okay, it's causing harm or damage.
Yeah.
Detrimental,
yeah.
And the pronunciation guide here on dictionary.com is deletrious.
Deletrious?
Yeah. There you
go. Myth busted, right? It certainly can't help. Right. But these teams, they reload, and you don't have to look any further than Alabama and what they lost along the defensive line in the last few years and always having a guy behind it. These elite programs are well-oiled machines. They have guys who would start for 100 other programs across the country that are backups, and they will come in and they will. Who's three? Xavier Thomas?
Yeah. Yep.
Monster.
Yep.
They'll be just fine. Take from Houndito Brigande. This is a tattle take on Brad Kelly. I don't care for Julius Caesar as a commander at all. What the hell are they talking about on that other show?
Brother, Oh, God. Do you know a thing about Julius Caesar?
No, I'm not a history guy. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, I was hoping I wasn't going to get this. Yeah, I don't know a thing about him. Popular name, you know? Did Shakespeare write about this guy? Was that different?
I'm not going to say anything and incriminate myself one way or the other.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop here and say I have no idea.
We're football guys.
But you have some random, like, you know things about certain things.
Yeah, but my bandwidth does not account for the space required for like the history of mankind.
Too many movie references up in that dome.
Movie references, preferred alcoholic beverages, and player profiles from the last 6 years. I've written over almost 2,000 of them.
So that's what's in your brain?
That's the brain.
Do you have like a niche that maybe people would be surprised to hear about? Like, hey, you know a lot about this and it's not football or...
Well, I told you it was bird watching and you believe me.
Like, brother... I was in another planet. I was really having a moment where I was trying to
existential crisis is what you
it
had.
It was yeah to catch people up. I don't know how did it somehow it got presented to me that Kyle was an avid bird watcher.
Which is not true. I think I made a reference to the blue-footed booby.
No, it was a titmouse. You knew what a titmouse was.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is a titmouse?
A tufted titmouse.
Yeah. And you like knew what it was. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I don't know what a titmouse is, man. I know what like a sparrow and a cardinal and a blue jay are. And that's like the entire inventory of birds that I know. And so I looked it up. I'm like, how the hell does Kyle know this? And I guess it's just like evolved from there where it's like,
oh, yeah, you gave me a hard time about knowing it, and I threw a couple more bird names at you.
I'm like texting your fiance, like, hey, like, what is this about? And she played along with it. She's like, oh yeah, Kyle just loves birds. His favorite is the blue-footed booby. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm looking up the blue-footed booby. I'm like, I guess that's a pretty cool looking bird.
It's a real bird.
I'm like, oh my God. And I texted my brother. I was like, Frankie, I just found out like Kyle's into bird watching. Like, I was having some weird conversations with people. I was like, I never saw this coming. And I was like trying to be sensitive about it too. Like, I'm like, obviously Kyle really likes this. And so I need to like be sensitive about it. And like,
about it.
I don't want to make him feel bad about it, but I'm really surprised right now. And how did how did I find out that you weren't into bird watching? Like, you let me live with that for a while.
Yeah, I let you live with that for like 6 months.
Right.
Because it happened in like the winter or the late fall. I told you in the spring, like right around the draft.
I think it might have been when we were in at Dewey Beach that you finally told me.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, so I let you go past the draft.
It was a long time, and I was like, I couldn't stop thinking about it.
You spent 6 months of your life thinking that I liked watching birds.
You don't know what that did to me, Kyle. This is the first time we've really talked about this, but I was like.
Is that why you stopped like texting me back so fast?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if this friendship's going to work out, man. I don't know if I'm not going to be able to vibe with you on the bird watching.
Take from Andrew Tate. This is on. I'm glad you get this one. This is good. Juan Thornhill will be the most productive safety coming out of the 2019 draft, both in terms of immediate impact and career trajectory. Change my mind.
I don't know if I can change your mind. Darnell Savage, I think, will be a good player. Jonathan Abram will be a nice niche player for the Raiders. I mean, Juan Thornhill walks into a situation in Kansas City where he has a starting opportunity right in front of him. He gets to play in a role that I think really suits his skill set. And I think that he'll like, he checks all the boxes. I don't think this is a crazy take. I don't love Taylor Rapp in terms of what he could be. I mean, Nasir Adderley with the Chargers, that's one that really makes me think this would be one of those fun AFC West battles between Adderley and Thornhill to see which player winds up being the best. But I think this is reasonable. I can buy into this. I really can. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is going to be good for the Saints, too.
Saints, yeah.
It's a good safety class. All right. Is this the last one?
It is. Last one.
And he got it in at the buzzer. Cameron Spencer. Charles Woodson is the most criminally underrated all-around defensive back of the last 20 years. He was a turnover machine, playmaker, and sound tackler, and he had more sustained success than the likes of Ed Reed, Troy Polamalu, and Brian Dawkins.
All right. I think what's impressive about Woodson is like he had that career evolution, didn't he? He was originally a corner.
Yep.
And then he transitioned to safety towards the end. Played for the Raiders, the Packers, and then the Raiders again. He played until he was 39 years old, Joe. 65 career interceptions. He's got credit for 183 passes defensed, and that does not include 1998. However many you got that year is not included in the Pro Football Reference database. Over 50 tackles for loss. He's got 20 career sacks. 33 forced fumbles. 11 defensive touch. Wait, no. 13 defensive touchdowns. It's pretty incredible numbers here.
But does anybody think like he's not one of the greatest defensive backs to ever play the game?
Right. I think that's where he loses me.
Right.
I mean, shit, Woodson had a stretch here, man, for the Packers. He had 8 picks. Let's do the math together, because I know you're not a math guy, okay?
I'm also not an idiot for people that just listen to me talk about not being a math guy. I'm not an idiot.
2006.
Kyle's like, no comments.
2007, he had 4 picks, so he's up to 12. 2008, he had 7, so he's at 19. And then he had 9 in 2009. So he's at 28. 2010, he's at 30 because he got 2 more. 2011, he's at 37 because he got 7 more. 6-year stretch, he got 37 interceptions. Dude, his last year, he got 5.
The problem for him is he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seasons where he only had 1 interception.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't hold it to against him.
I don't, but like
they got to throw the ball at him.
I know, but like if you would have got like 4, you're in striking distance of the all-time record.
What's the all-time record?
Paul Kraus, 81.
All right, so if he would have got 4 every year that he got 1, he would
have 21 more.
So he would have finished with 86?
Yeah, he would have shattered the record.
Man. Let's write a formal letter. A strongly worded letter to every quarterback too cowardly to throw at Charles Woodson. In 2001, 2002, 2004, 2005, 2012, and 2013.
That's the wild thing about looking at this thing, man. Is he had 37 interceptions in a 6-year span, and then in 7 seasons he had a total of 7.
Yeah. But got one every year.
Right. Like, what the hell is that?
Never got the goose egg.
Yeah, I never did. It's true.
Props. I don't know who's sleeping on Charles Woodson, but if you know people that are sleeping on Charles Woodson, slap him upside the head.
It's Z who thinks that Derwin James is a run stuffer. We found this weird fraternity of people.
One guy. Hope you guys enjoyed Takes on Takes. Today we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. We had fun. Hope you guys had fun. Come back. See us again tomorrow. We got Water Cooler Wednesday tomorrow. We'll shoot the shit a little bit. And then we got Tier Maker Thursday coming up after that. If you got anything you guys want to hear or listen to us Tier Maker, Joe is at the Joe Marino, Matt, grinding the tape. Thanks as always for listening to the Draft Dudes podcast.